This is Cityscape. I'm Jim Eltoff. Opera Theater of St. Louis is having a party to celebrate the release of a CD of the Opera 27, which was given its world premiere last season in St. Louis. 27 is the story of Gertrude Stein and Alice B. Toklas and their life in Paris. The opera, featuring mezzo-soprano Stephanie Blythe as Stein and soprano Elizabeth Futrell as Toklas, was a great success with both critics and fans. And if you missed it, you'll soon be able to own it. With me on the phone, Ricky Ian Gordon, the composer, and Royce Vavrick, the librettist. Gentlemen, welcome to Cityscape. It's great to have you with us.
Great to be here.
Great to be with you.
Ricky, let me start with you. Tell us the story of how this opera came to be.
The opera came to be because, first of all, I was always obsessed with Gertrude Stein and Alice B. Toklas. When I first got to college, Carnegie Mellon University, I was 17, and I had a terrible, terrible cold, and someone gave me a book called Charmed Circle. And I just laid in bed all week eating tangerines and reading that book. And it was as if I had found a long-lost friend. And so much so that I fashioned my life after Gertrude Stein for a long time. When I moved to New York, I had a Saturday night salon series. And I would premiere all my new pieces. And I would have artists come and talk about their work. So many, many years later, Jim Robinson, the artistic director of Opera Theater St. Louis, called me to ask me if I would write an opera for them for Stephanie Blythe. And as soon as he said Stephanie Blythe, I thought Gertrude Stein, because Stephanie is a formidable presence on every level, physically, vocally, and in order to write an opera for her, I had to immediately think of a character that was as formidable as Stephanie, that could preside in the way that Stephanie presides over, you know, the Metropolitan Opera House. So everybody agreed that it was a perfect match.
Well, she is a force of nature, and in fact, both these women are.
Yes, absolutely. Well, that was part of the privilege for me. It's one of my best friends in the world, is Elizabeth Futrell. I wrote my Orpheus and Eurydice for her. So the idea that we could create Alice for Elizabeth and Gertrude for Stephanie was just a wonderful, happy, you know, exciting surprise. And the thing about Royce Vavrick then is that about a year before, Royce had come over to my house. A young conductor named Fred Lassen brought Royce over, and Royce said, I really want to work with you, and I had nothing happening at the time that would have been appropriate. But when this whole Gertrude Stein, Stephanie Blythe thing came about, it was all going to happen rather quickly, and I needed someone right away who could do the work and do it quickly. I remembered Royce saying, I'll do anything to work with you. So I called him and said, well, if you can read 15 books and write a libretto in about a month, you have the job. And I knew, in a way, that the advantages. Royce is young and hungry and ambitious, and he said yes, and the rest is history. And
well, Royce, let's get you into this story. How did you go about telling Stein's story? She had certainly a long and eventful life, to say the least. How did you go about putting this into a narrative?
Well, I read those 15 books that Ricky suggested, and I sort of burrowed myself into a hole and just completely allowed the life of Gertrude Stein to wash over me and to become part of my chemistry. And then through reading Charm Circle, which was a major, major work that informed the piece, and the autobiography of Alice B. Toklas, I think that those were the two sort of the big foundations, literary foundations. And I sort of devoured them and then went out fashioning what I felt was sort of a comprehensive history of Stein in 90 minutes. So it was very organic and fast and furious and just a joy.
Well, Royce, let me ask you a little bit about the politics here. I mean, during the Nazi occupation, Stein was pretty clearly a collaborator, an admirer of Marshal Petain. She even said once that she thought Hitler merited the Nobel Peace Prize. This from a Jewish lesbian from Pittsburgh. How do you deal with that in this story?
Well, one of the things that Ricky was very clear about when we started was that we didn't want to whitewash her. So Act 4 in this piece really deals with her conscience coming and sort of devouring her. We do definitely tackle that subject, but I think in a very sort of expressionistic way, where the Picasso portrait of her comes and really fierily, with great fire rather, is able to really eat into her psychology in a really, really remarkable way. So it's there. It's definitely there. You know, this woman has done so much and was so influential, and so it's kind of outrageous that we have fashioned an opera about her life with Alice in five acts that take place over the course of 90 minutes. But we really did try to make a nice sample mm-hmm. of her life and really give as much of a comprehensive portrait of her, warts and all.
I'm eager to hear some of your work. Ricky, what do we expect to hear in the prologue?
Well, Royce did something really brilliant, Jim, which is that he creates, as the impetus for the entire piece existing, Alice is on stage knitting, desperately, crazily knitting, this huge, out-of-control, almost the size of the stage piece of knitting. And what she's really desperately doing is she's trying to knit back to life the salon, her life with Gertrude Stein. And she does. So the prologue is called Alice Knits the World. And I wanted to create the energy I wanted to create in terms of the music that opens the piece, Jim, is I wanted it to feel like an opera buffa. I listened obsessively to Verdi's Falstaff and also to Britten's Albert Herring. And I wanted it to be that kind of piece that could begin on a note of energy and humor and fun and then reach really deep towards the end. So what you have at the beginning is Alice alone on the stage knitting, and eventually all of a sudden these three men appear from under the knitting, and one by one they sort of rebuild the salon with Gertrude, and all of a sudden the curtain parts and there's Gertrude, and Alice has knit back to life the salon at 27 Rue de Fleurus.
Let's listen to Alice Knits the World, music from 27. We've been listening to music from the Opera 27, featuring mezzo-soprano Stephanie Blythe and soprano Elizabeth Futrell. This Saturday evening, Opera Theater is holding a party to celebrate the release of the CD, and you can find all the details on the Opera Theater website or a link to that on our site. I'm talking with Ricky Ian Gordon, the composer of 27, and librettist Royce Vavrick. Ricky, tell us a little bit about the process of composing this opera, how you and Royce went about your jobs, apparently under some time pressure.
Well, I mean, the thing is, when Royce first came over, aside from sort of giving him a reading list, I told him what I wanted the piece to be. You know, I knew I wanted it to be sort of a fantasia on Gertrude and Alice's life together, and that it was really important to me. You know, Gertrude already wrote. She wrote the librettos for Four Saints in Three Acts and The Mother of Us All, the two Virgil Thompson operas. I said to Royce, I don't want this to feel like a Gertrude Stein piece. I want this to be about Gertrude's life. I also said, as Royce said, I don't want to whitewash her. All the speculation about the possibility of her collaboration I want in the opera. And I also told him my favorite line of hers, which is, before the flowers of friendship faded, friendship faded. And Royce just sort of, the amazing thing is he just sort of amalgamated like so much about her life that was seminal and important. He picked the major characters that he wanted to cover. We had these three men and he turned them into everyone. Oh, and I also told him, Jim, that I wanted the paintings to sing. So the paintings sing. They become a million different things. The three men become Leo Stein, Matisse, Picasso, Man Ray, Fitzgerald, Hemingway. And, you know, the truth is, Royce gave me exactly what I wanted. I screamed the day he handed in. It looked like exactly what I wanted to do. I wanted to write a fun opera and a poignant opera. And as I said, I was thinking a lot about Verdi's Falstaff and about Britten's Albert Herring, in particular, Act One. And so all that happened was I looked at Royce's libretto, I looked at the prologue, Alice Knits the World, and I just began. And the truth is, Jim, we had to write the piece so fast, it sort of wrote itself. I wrote the prologue, I called Royce, I said, can you come over and hear this? He came over and he goes, oh my God, and then he gave me the greatest advice. He goes, Ricky, just keep being you. It's very Ricky. And for some reason, I needed to hear that because it's very hybrid, this piece. There are moments when it enters straight into the canon of American musicals.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted it to feel like that. I wanted it to feel like Gertrude Stein, part of who she was her incredible embrace of all culture, low and high. You know what I mean? Mostly, she just had an antenna for what was good and what was authentic.
Mm-hmm. Royce, was there much rewriting, or did it all just kind of flow?
Well, I got to work with an amazing dramaturg named Michael Cohen, who, over the course of the 6 weeks that I was really investing all of my creative space to this project, really made sure that all of my T's were crossed and my I's were dotted. So when I handed it to Ricky, it was pretty solid. It was in a really good shape. So, of course, things need to evolve based on the compositional process that Ricky has or that any composer has,
mm-hmm.
Where lines need to be adjusted or little things need to be turned into an aria, for instance. There's a big moment where there is a song about the wives of geniuses, and that was sort of a fleeting scene in my original libretto. And when Ricky got to that point, he asked for it to be a number. So things like that evolved, but the libretto was pretty much set when Ricky got it.
Let's hear more from 27. Royce, we're going to hear a duet. Set this up for us, if you would.
We're going to hear the Bells Duet, as we call it, which is a song that ends the first act right after the expulsion of Leo Stein, when he is leaving and taking all of the Matisses and the Picassos off the walls. And Gertrude says, no, you keep your paws off my Matisses. And she and Alice have this beautiful duet in the company of Picasso, where they sing about the bells of Jesus.
One of the things that Roy said was so amazing in this duet is it's a fact that Alice said there were three times in her life she heard bells when she met someone. She heard bells when she met Gertrude. She heard bells when she met Picasso. And she heard bells when she met Alfred North Whitehead. And she believed that they were the bells of genius. So Royce wrote a duet about it.
Let's listen.
I did.
Music from 27.
Thank you.
Beautiful, beautiful. I've been talking with Ricky Ian Gordon, the composer, and Royce Favrick, the librettist, about the upcoming release of the CD 27, which will be celebrated with a party at the Downtown Hilton this Saturday evening. Gentlemen, thank you both for being with us. Congratulations on 27 and continued success to you both.
Thank you very much.
Stay with us. There's more of Cityscape coming up on St. Louis Public Radio.